Hello, good morning, Green Bay Packer fans. This is Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and today we're looking forward to a Green Bay Packers appearance in the NFC Championship game against the Chicago Bears on Sunday, January 23rd, 2 p.m. Lambeau time. Get ready, folks. It's coming. Does it get any better than this if you are a Packer fan? You're facing your hated, heated rival, NFC North rival, Chicago Bears, for a chance to play in the Super Bowl. It doesn't get any better than this. Or maybe it does. Today's top story is all about the supposed terrible playing surface at Soldier Field. Maybe it could be better if there was a better field to play on. Maybe if we weren't talking about this, it could be better. But that's the way it goes. If you want to follow along today, please click the link to today's Packers Daily Links. I've left a link at the near the top of the live blog if you want to scroll up and open that and follow along. Has some stories related to Soldier Field. We also are accepting your tweets today. Please tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will get through to the show. Nobody's moderating comments this morning, so please leave them on our live blog or feel free to use that Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. So if you click the link to today's Packers Daily Links, it'll take you to a page that looks a little something like this. Top story today coming from Jason Wilde of the Green Bay, of ESPN Wisconsin. ESPNMilwaukee.com, ESPNMadison.com. If you click that link that says Soldier Field, it'll take you over there. Page looks like this. And right off the bat, he writes, while his teammates were considerably more kind in their assessments of Soldier Field's turf, Greg Jennings did not mince words, calling the playing surface probably the worst in the league. Greg Jennings criticizing the turf at Soldier Field. Not looking good when you call it the worst in the league. That used to be reserved for Philadelphia. Remember old veteran stadium with creases and like gaps in between the playing surface? No, that goes now to Soldier Field, where the Packers have to play one of the most important games in the history of the franchise. And here we are talking about the playing surface instead of the game. Or here I am at least talking about it. And, you know, I wrote a column probably in early December for the Bliss Communications family of newspapers, Riley family of newspapers in southern Wisconsin. Link to it on Cheesehead TV, but I basically said that, you know, there's like this misperception that teams have to run more effectively in cold weather. And that's really not true. It doesn't matter what the temperature is to throw the ball. I mean, you look back to the last time the Packers played in the NFC Championship game against the New York Giants in 2007, not too long ago. Threw the ball just fine that day. Cold as hell. Below zero. Wind chill below that. I think it was like -2 actual temperature, and wind chill was probably somewhere in the negative 20s. Threw the ball all around all day. Both teams, no problems there. So there is no extra importance on running the ball in cold weather. It's when it gets very sloppy and wet that then, you know, the ball gets wet, the ball gets muddy, have a hard time holding on to it, let alone throwing it. At that point, those kind of games come around about once a decade. And when they do, then it is important to run the ball. Or windy, as the Packers have experienced, I think, when was that? 2005 at Soldier Field during a regular season game, obviously. You remember the punting game had so much problem. John Ryan had some punts blocked and another couple shanks. And I mean, the wind was just howling and you could barely blame him. In those types of games, running the ball does become important. And running the ball is not the Packers' forte, although they've gotten better at it lately. But now, let's say, just for sake of argument, there is wet weather on Sunday. You kind of get maybe this wet snow. Just saw a tweet from Tony Walter of the Green Bay Press Gazette saying the forecast for Sunday is 17 degrees in snow. Well, if it happens to get just a, you know, if it stays 17 degrees, it's going to stay snow. But let's say between, you know, the 5 days between here, now and then, let's say the temperature rises a little. It's in the high 20s. You know, it's in the high 20s, then it might be kind of wet snow. You know, if it's right around the freezing level, right around that temperature, and it gets wet, and you combine that with the poor playing surface that everybody saw this past Sunday when the Bears hosted the Seahawks, you know, that can make for a mess there at Soldier Field. And that doesn't favor the Packers. If the Packers have to go to the ground game to beat the Bears, I'm not liking that. You know, of course, everybody knows the Packers, their forte is the pass. Aaron Rodgers, Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, James Jones, Jordy Nelson, you name it. You know, that's where their meat and potatoes are, is the pass. Not to say the Packers can't run, but they're much more effective with the pass, much more consistent with the pass. And if it happens to be a mud bowl on an already shoddy playing surface at Soldier Field, then the Packers could be in for quite a game. Taking a look at some of the comments on the live blog. John Rahor comments, favorite thing is they are not going to re-sod the turf. Someone call the Chicago Park District. Grass doesn't grow in the winter. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the problems. I mean, it's hard to manage a turf when grass doesn't grow. You know, I suppose that's why they're thinking of resodding it. You know, if I remember, I went back to some articles from when the Packers had to resurface their field before the, what was it, 1997 NFC Championship game. And they hauled, you know, it was like 20-plus truckloads of turf from Maryland, all the way from Maryland. You know, I suppose the grass maybe was still growing, or perhaps it was at a facility where it was growing, or something like that. I'm not exactly sure. So, anyhow, the report, you know, another report as we have in today's Packers Daily Links, right beneath the first story and related to it, Don Walker, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, did a story on it about replacing the sod too. And if we look here at JS Online, here it is. And he reports, quote, the general manager of Soldier Field, the site of the NFC Championship game between the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears, said Monday that the Chicago Park District and the Bears have no plans to replace the sod in advance of Sunday's game. So, I was a little bit confused by this article because, okay, so the Bears have no plans to replace the sod, or at least the people who run Soldier Field. The Bears don't own it. They lease it, I suppose. But it's, you know, the report is the NFL has the final decision. So does it really matter that the Soldier Field people aren't going to replace the sod? It's kind of a non-factor if it comes down to the NFL's choice. The article, of course, goes on to explain all that. But I thought it was kind of weird that it was mentioned to lead the story. I suppose that, you know, it wasn't a guarantee that the field was going to be replaced. So anyway, I suppose the question here is the turf going to play a factor in the game? You know, Greg Jennings, as we saw, called it the worst in the league. If you want to leave your comments on the live blog, feel free, tweet them in to me, use the hashtags Railbird, and if anybody wants to call in today, phone number, putting it on the screen here if I can, 646-797-2909. If you want to call in, leave your thoughts on Soldier Field, on Chicago. If you want to talk anything about the Chicago Bears matchup here, NFC Championship game, feel free. We can talk about it. We don't have to talk about the playing surface. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. We're going to get to more topics later on. I just wanted to lead with this today, seeing it seemed to be one of the top stories of the day. Just from our quick little poll here, does look like the playing surface is going to, if people think the playing surface is going to play a factor in Sunday's game. And we are, it looks like we are having comments approved here, folks. So we got a moderator. Alex Talich of the Packers Lounge has joined us and is approving comments. So if you want to leave them right on the live blog without having to tweet, feel free. We can do that as well. Illinois Pack fan looked up the forecast for Sunday himself. Says high of 16, 10% chance of snow. So 10% chance of precipitation isn't very much. That's when it's that low, it's almost guaranteed that it's not going to precipitate. But there's a lot of time between now and Sunday. Weather forecasts can change in the course of 24 hours, so you know, it's almost worthless looking at things like weather forecasts at this point in time, I suppose, because they can change so drastically in a short period of time. Not saying that it's going to, but it has the possibility of doing so. Jersey Pack fan comments. Just wear longer cleats like the Bears wore last Sunday. Problem solved. Yeah, the players at the podium yesterday, press conferences at Lambeau Field, you know, and Coach McCarthy did as well, just said, you know, they got to have the right type of cleats, and the Packers certainly will be prepared for that. John Rahor comments, yes, it is going to slow down the offense. Very interesting factor, I think. The Packers like playing in dome games. I think it favors the Packers offense in a dome on turf, on artificial turf. You know, one of the best position groupings on the Packers is their wide receivers, the deepest position. And when your skill players are your best players like that, that use speed to their advantage and know where they're going to, you know, break on their routes, as opposed to defensive backs who have to guess where they're going to break or read and react, those kind of things favor the offense and a good wide receiver group with the Packers. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how a worse surface affects them. You know what's interesting is the Packers don't really seem to have as much of a problem anymore. The Packers, 10 years ago, it wasn't even that, 5 years ago or less, they, you know, did this, it's still natural grass at Lambeau Field, but they've got I don't know what you called it, weaved in to their turf, the artificial strands that kind of hold it together. So that, for one, helps it. And two, the Packers, if you haven't read, this year the Packers went to bought some system from Europe that lights the playing surface at night and kind of keeps the grass growing late into the season. That's just been phenomenal. You remember the last two regular season games when the Packers hosted the Giants and the Bears in week 16 and 17 of the regular season in late December, early January? And the field was just terrific. And I personally credit to that lighting system they used this year. It's really just done a fantastic job of holding together Lambeau Field, because in the past, you know, people would say Lambeau Field is not a very good playing surface either. And just for the simple fact that grass doesn't grow in Wisconsin, after September. You get to October and grass is basically going dormant. And there's nothing you can do about it naturally unless you have some sort of artificial lighting, heating like that. So the Packers, really have a nice facility, and it's something that the Bears have to catch up to them. They have to install the artificial weaving. I don't know what the technical term for it. Somebody help me out there. The synthetic weaving in the surface. And number two, get this artificial lighting. And apparently the Packers are the first sporting franchise in the entire United States that is doing this, whether it be baseball, football, soccer, you name it. Well, I suppose many baseball teams wouldn't do it because, that sport is played during the summer. I suppose soccer teams could. There's not that much soccer played in the winter around here, but there is some. So, interesting. Taking a look. Oh, we'll take a phone call here. Maybe. I'm trying to take a phone call, but my computer seems to have frozen up here. Not sure what's happening. I heard the ringing. Who's ever trying to call, feel free to call back in. We'll try it again. I'm not sure why my computer didn't pick up on you. We use Skype here at Cheesehead TV. I think if we just try again, we'd be fine. I don't think there's a big problem here. Just for some reason, my computer didn't like it. But anyhow, taking a look at some of the comments here. Packer fan John says, Mike McCarthy said Thursday they will be outside the other days. Correct, in the Hudson with the doors open the other days of practice. Yeah, so the Packers are practicing outside Thursday this week to get ready for the elements. Here we go. We'll try this again. Here we go. You're on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us? Hello. Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV.
Hello.
Hello, who do we have joining us?
Doug.
Hey, Doug, how you doing?
Good. Hello.
I'm here. What's on your mind?
Well,
I just want to make a comment about...
Who do we have joining us?
Doug.
Doug, you got to turn down your computer, I think.
Turn the computer off.
Yes.
All right, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
I think it's just an excellent idea that Mike McCarthy takes that team outside this week.
Okay. Go ahead, continue. Why? Doug, you're killing me here. If you're going to call in, you got to talk.
Okay. I'm trying to get the volume off.
I understand. You're trying to do two things at once here.
And for me, that's hard.
So, you think it's a good thing that the Packers are practicing outside?
Yes, after the...
You're killing me here. If you're going to call in, you got to talk.
After the last championship experience there, the Packers did not practice outdoors. And I thought their play reflected that. The Giants looked totally comfortable, and the Packers looked cold.
Yes, that was a big talking point back in 2007. That Mike McCarthy a lot of times did not take his team outside. You know, he would do other things like freeze footballs and practice with them, but they would not practice outside a whole lot. So that's changing. You're right.
Yeah, I think that's just, it might be just a huge factor this time in their favor.
Yeah. And the days that the Packers aren't practicing outside, Mike McCarthy said, they will be opening the doors to the Hudson Center, you know, the practicing in the cold at least. So they're going out once this week doing a full practice outside, and the other day is going to practice in the cold, going to freeze some footballs as well. So, yeah, Mike McCarthy changing his tune a little bit there, changing his philosophy. Anything else, Doug?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, the Bears are getting one less day of preparation, too.
Yeah, interesting. The Packers played Saturday. The Bears played Sunday. So the Packers are getting not only one more day of preparation, one more day of rest and recovery and recuperation as well.
Yeah, I think the rest is the big thing. So it should work in... hopefully in their favor, because they do have to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And far. But,
Doug,
so that's what I have to comment on.
Very good. Doug, thanks for calling in. We appreciate the phone call. Take care. Thanks, Doug. Next time we got to fix that computer ahead of time, but that's all right. Hey, you do make a good point. I mean, there's a lot of... a change in philosophy there from Mike McCarthy. You know, he did get quite a bit of criticism back just a couple years ago there. The Packers weren't practicing outside when it came to the cold weather. And now they are. And perhaps that's because of the new playing surface that they've installed at Ray Nitschke Field. Two seasons ago, that surface was put in, I believe, and for some reason, I think the Packers must like that surface a little more, and maybe that's encouraged them to go outside a little bit more. I know Mike McCarthy in his press conferences has, praised the playing surface, saying it's in good shape and things like that. So, going outside, practicing, getting used to the cold, I think it is important. I don't think you have to do it all the time. I think it would be actually against your... it would be hurtful to do it all the time. When you're cold, you're not always thinking correctly, and I realize that's the challenge they're faced with during the game. But in an environment like practice, I mean, that's when you really got to be doing, a lot of thinking and focusing on what the opponent's doing and what their formations and play calls and the routes they're going to run and et cetera, et cetera. And, I don't think they should have to be feeling freezing cold during a practice environment to do that. But to do it once, and doing other things in addition to that, like opening the doors and practicing with frozen footballs. Hey, great. I think this is the absolute proper approach Mike McCarthy's taking, the nice balance he's getting in his practice schedule. So that's great. And if anybody else wants to call in here, feel free, 646-797-2909. And just make sure your computer's turned down ahead of time. In other news today, getting away from this field surface here for a little bit, we go back to today's Packers Daily Links. Third story down today. First one, not about the turf. The Packers played in the NFC Championship game not too long ago. Everybody will remember the disappointment at the hands of the New York Giants at Soldier Field in 2007. And if you click that, it'll take you to an article at the Green Bay Press Gazette, a column written by Mike Vandermoss. And he notes how many players were still playing in that game. He writes, quote, there are 23 players on the Packers 53-man roster that were on that team in 2007, including 10 returning starters. Pardon me. Need a drink of coffee here. And, you know, so there's a lot of players still on the team that felt that disappointment, were on the precipice of the Super Bowl, and, you know, had it taken away from them on their home field nonetheless. So that would seemingly play a big role in Sunday's outcome. You know, a lot of players, most of the players interviewed yesterday. In fact, all of them. Scott Wells was the starting center. A.J. Hawk, he played then, starting linebacker. Greg Jennings, he was in the starting lineup opposite Donald Driver. And Tremont Williams, he didn't start back then, but he was on the team. I think he did play the nickel role that year in 2007, if I'm correct. That was his first year with Green Bay. So all those players who were interviewed yesterday that you saw at Lambeau Field, if you happen to be looking at the Packers official website or been watching the local news or reading the articles this morning, all those players knew what it was like to lose in the NFC Championship game just a couple short seasons ago. Of course, the man who led the team, their starting quarterback, Brett Favre, if you haven't heard already, and how could you not, Brett Favre officially retired from the NFL, filed his retirement papers. I think it was, you know, I think it's for good, but I did find it interesting. I think it was Adam Schefter of ESPN said that could be interesting a year from now. Let's say a team in the playoff chase next year, their starting quarterback goes down in the middle of the season or something like that, and wants a proven quarterback for the rest of the way, could call Brett Favre, get him out of retirement one more time. You know, I suppose I could see that happening. You know, if all the stars align, if Brett Favre knows he'll be a starter on a team with a winning team with a chance at the playoffs. Oh, I mean, that would just be a shame, I think. Brett Favre should stay retired, in my opinion, but it's a possibility, I suppose. A lot of comments on the live blog that I'm falling behind upon. Brett comments that Collins was there. He was the starting safety in the NFC Championship game of 2007. John Rayor comments that, yeah, that Tremont Williams became the nickel after Jarrett Bush bombed in that that role that season. Jarrett Bush was the nickelback to begin the season, but not to end that season. It's amazing Jarrett Bush has persevered through all these years despite losing that job. That the highest he ever climbed on the ladder was the nickelback role there in 2007, and he stayed with the Packers and has become a pretty good special teams player. For him, I must admit that. So interesting. Anyway, it's 8:30, folks. Let me take a break. When we come back, we'll get to some other topics today, including Brian Bulaga. Welcome back to Cheesehead TV, to the Railbird Central Morning Call-In Talk Show. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Thanks for joining us today, everyone. Once again, if you want to tweet, use the hashtags Railbird. Your comments will get through to our blog. We do have a moderator, too, though, so anytime you just want to comment on the live blog, feel free. Your comments are getting through. Another interesting story today. In today's Packers Daily Links article, both from Lori Nickel, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and you know a very similar article over at the Green Bay Press Gazette by Rob Domofsky, but we'll take a look at the one from Miss Nickel about the Packers and the third consecutive road game that they're facing this year. She writes, quote, after going 3-5 away from Lambeau in the regular season, the Packers have won at Philadelphia and Atlanta. In those hostile environments, they've had only 3 offensive penalties. It really is amazing what the Packers are doing right now, and there's very little historical precedent to be a number 6 seed going on the road against higher-rated teams. I said it on Cheesehead TV yesterday in a quick little blog post. The Packers have a chance to do a little bit of set a little bit of history, make a little history, at least in the NFC. Back in 2005, the Pittsburgh Steelers became the only 6 seed to advance to the Super Bowl and win it. So both those little landmarks victories there. But nobody's ever done it on the NFC side of the bracket. In fact, the New York Giants in 2007, who beat the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field in the NFC Championship game, were the lowest seeded team from the NFC ever to qualify for the Super Bowl. So, in a bit of irony, this season, if the Packers happen to beat the Bears on Sunday, they would become the lowest seeded team from the NFC ever to make the Super Bowl. Since the NFL went to a 12-team format in the playoffs back in, I believe it was 1990. So the Packers can become the first 6 seed from the NFC ever to qualify for the Super Bowl if they win. And by the same token, they would also become the first team ever to beat number 1, number 2, and number 3 seeds on their way to the Super Bowl as well. So the Packers will have beaten the 3 best teams in the NFC if they beat the Chicago Bears on Sunday. So that's how well the Packers are doing this season. That's how well. There's so little historical precedent for what they're doing. And that's how well the Packers are playing right now. You know, they are just hot. I've said it before. I am such a believer in momentum that the Packers just, you know, they're on a 4-game winning streak and they just believe they can beat anybody right now. And when you go and beat a team like you beat the Atlanta Falcons on this past Saturday, you know, you score 48 points on them, on the best team in the AFC, the NFC, the number 1 seeded team. I mean, the Packers are just absolutely believing in themselves. They know they can beat Chicago. Yes, I think it will be a tough game, but I personally just can't deny the momentum factor. And, you know, I probably will be picking the Packers. I never thought I could pick the Packers for all 3 games in the playoffs, that they could win 3 road games, but they've converted me. I'm a believer. The Bears defense will be is absolutely phenomenal. it is good. It is very good. I mean, the Packers defense is great as well. But you know, this will be a matchup of two good defenses on Sunday. And you know, I definitely don't think the Packers are putting 48 up again. But yeah, it'll be fun. A fun game. Just for everybody. Brian Bulaga, I want to talk about him for a second. We go back to today's Packers Daily Links. rookie right tackle Brian Bulaga was named to the NFL's all-rookie team. So there's an article about it in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Bob McGinn lists the all-rookie team. And it's happened before a couple times with the Packers in having tackles on the all-rookie team. Bob McGinn writes, since the team, which is recognized as the official all-rookie team, was originated in 1974, the Packers have had three other tackles selected. Mark Conkar in 1976, John Michaels in 96, and Ross Verba in 97. Just take a look at those names for a second. Mark Conkar, I didn't even know of the guy. That was before my time, and I'm just probably too young to know that name. But I know John Michaels and Ross Verba very well, and aside from those rookie seasons in which they were named to the all-rookie team, they didn't do a whole lot after that. Here's to hoping that Brian Bulaga has a little bit better career than John Michaels and Ross Verba. Those guys had good rookie seasons. I'll give them that. They had good rookie seasons, but seemed to go downhill from there. Really downhill. And perhaps with those guys, maybe it was just because, you know, the situation in which, you know, they kind of came up in. You know, John Michaels replaced Ken Rutgers in 96, the Super Bowl year. And, you know, John Michaels did okay for a rookie, you know, filling such big shoes. But he really wasn't all that good. In fact, was benched for the playoffs in favor of Bruce Wilkerson, wasn't it? And Ross Verba came in the very next year. And I think he played on the other side of the line at right tackle, if I'm not mistaken. And Ross Verba had a couple of okay seasons, but just kind of fizzled out rather quietly. Just kind of interesting there. But congratulations to Brian Bulaga. I thought there was one other person that perhaps deserved to be on the all-rookie team. And that was punter Tim Maste. But he didn't get it. If you note in the Packers Daily Links, I note that, who was it? Zoltán Mezco of the Patriots was the punter on the all-rookie team. And I went this morning, I kind of looked at, compared their statistics, and Mezco has the better net average, and I suppose that's probably what it came down to the voters, but their stats are very comparable, and I can't blame anybody for not voting for Mezco for the all-rookie team punter, but Tim Maste had to be considered there, and I suppose Sam Shields did too. I mean, I couldn't put, you know, I couldn't vote for Sam Shields ahead of the other cornerback there from the Patriots this year. But he deserves a ton of credit. You know, the Packers have some other good rookies, no doubt. The ceiling is high with guys like Mike Neal and Andrew Corliss, and, you know, there's several of them. The Packers, Frank Zombo, the list goes on. But as far as making the all-rookie team, Sam Shields and Tim Maste, those were two other guys who had to be highly considered and have bright futures with the Green Bay Packers. So looking at some of the comments here, some good comments for Ross Verba. Brett says Verba was good, Michaels not so much, and Illinois Pack fan says Ross Verba was good and mean. I loved him, plus he was from Iowa. Yeah, you know, Ross Verba was okay. It's just he kind of fizzled a little bit at the end, I thought. He didn't have many good years in him. Started off well, started off really hot. You know, he got so much attention right away for the good rookie season he had and kept it up for a little bit, but there just weren't a whole lot of years in Ross Verba. So, Jamie Lee comments, considering most people weren't even sure if Shields should be on the team, his performance is pretty outstanding. Sam Shields is just amazing this year. He really doesn't get enough credit. He's rarely gotten beat, and he holds teams. He just holds receivers without even receptions. He does that good a job. He just does blanket coverage, has good makeup speed, of course. Does a really fantastic job. What team was it? Was it against the Jets where I think Brad Smith got a reverse or something? And Shields ran him down from the opposite side of the field. That to me kind of sticks out in my mind as like the best Sam Shields play of the year. I mean, he's certainly been very good in coverage as well. And he had a big interception against a team too. Was it against the Vikings where Shields had an interception? It's, you know, months ago now, and my memory's a little fuzzy, but does a good job. Thank you, Alex, for bringing up my own tweet from yesterday. Mike McCarthy commented on Shields yesterday in the press conference, saying he put together a good season to come here as a free agent and earn his spot. It's exciting. And it has been. Brett says, comments, what was incredible was reading McGinn this morning and seeing that Saturday was Shields' first penalty of the year. Yeah, that's another reason he's been so good. The guy has not had many penalties. The first one. Hasn't had any, you know, as so many cornerbacks do, have pass interference penalties or holding penalties, and Shields hasn't had any. Fantastic. Packer fan John asks, speaking of Shields, who returns kicks this week? Starks has not looked special. Yeah, it's very interesting question there. The Packers have kind of gone musical chairs with the kick return position lately. You know, they've been going with trying Sam Shields. They've been trying James Starks. James Starks, of course, muffed a kickoff this past week that rolled out of bounds against the Falcons. And then Pat Lee getting a chance too. And everybody's kind of getting sick of the musical chairs that the Packers are playing and thinking, hey, it's the playoffs. Just go with someone and stick with it. And like Brett says, it's time to give that job to Pat Lee. I think most people feel, you know, he's the most veteran guy. He's done okay when he's gotten his chances. He hasn't fumbled this season. I think the sentiment is, you know, give the job to Pat Lee and stick with it. You know, because Sam Shields and James Starks have had their problems just catching the ball, albeit on a kickoff. Usually there's time to recover, but it still doesn't help when you're muffing it, fumbling it back there. So, hey, if you want to comment again here, phone lines are open, 646-797-2909. You want to talk about Sam Shields, you want to talk about the kick returner position on the Packers, you want to talk about Brian Bulaga or Ross Verba, feel free to call into the show. Yeah, I mean, the comments are rolling in here on Pat Lee. Everybody thinking Pat Lee should be the kick returner. Brett says they should be the kick returner. Illinois Pack fan. Lucas Richmond, 44, all chiming in that Pat Lee should be the kick returner. Can we all agree that Jordy Nelson shouldn't? Jordy Nelson, I believe, led the team in fumbles this year. Two of them coming on kick returns and one on a reception. I just love it still. I love mentioning this. Packers running backs have not fumbled this season. Every fumble, have not lost a fumble. You know, I think Kuhn and Jackson have all fumbled, but they've been recovered. The receivers and the quarterbacks have been the ones fumbling this year. Of course, quarterbacks are going to eventually, you know, you take a blindside hit and you're going to fumble once in a while. But yeah, the receivers this year holding on to the ball has not been the greatest. You know, it hasn't been a out and out chronic problem, I suppose. But still. Not good. Illinois Pack fan says James Jones had a good week versus Atlanta. What will he do this week, good or bad? Yeah, it doesn't bode well. James Jones seems to be up and down this season. He'll follow a good game with a poor game, and of course this past Saturday against Atlanta, where he had 70 some yards and a touchdown catch. That was his good game. Hopefully he breaks the trend. If there's any time to break out of that, it would be now in the NFC Championship game. Aaron Nagler of Cheesehead TV wrote a post earlier this morning about how the receivers have to play better in the elements. James Jones can't afford to drop any more passes. Greg Jennings can't afford to fumble like he did against Atlanta last week. Jordy Nelson, as we said, led the team in fumbles this year. Can't afford that. Receivers are going to have to come up big in the NFC Championship game, as every player needs to come up big if the Packers want to move on to the Super Bowl. So, yes, no doubt. Taking a look at the comments again on the live blog, Lucas Richmond, 44, says, I think Jones' problem is the over-the-shoulder catch. He can only catch when he is facing the ball. Has been a problem. He's had a couple bounce off his hands that have been deep downfield passes for the Packers. As has Greg Jennings. Of course, that famous one from Jennings a couple weeks ago where Rodgers hit him in stride, went off his hands, and then right into the defender. Packers Lounge comments, Jones had some different gloves on. Anyone else notice that? Interesting. Different gloves, huh? In other Packers news today, in today's Packers Daily Links, article from Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking a little bit about the historic rivalry between the Packers and the Bears, and how it's their third meeting this season. How much you know about a team by the third time you face them in a season, and of course that can only come with a conference rival within your own division, and it would have to happen in the playoffs. If you click this link, it'll take you to JS Online. And anyhow, as Mr. Silverstein notes, if I could just read one paragraph here of his article, he writes, quote, the fact that these two teams played on January 2nd in the regular season finale speaks even more to the sense that neither team is going to fool the other. Facing a must-win to make the playoffs, the Packers pulled out a hard-fought 10-3 victory at Lambeau Field. Yeah, I mean, is there any surprises? Can a team do anything at this point in the season against the Bears? Can the Packers do anything new to surprise them? I mean, I suppose they can pull a trick play out of the bag. They could fake a punt. Or do a fumble rooski, or Statue of Liberty. I suppose they haven't done that. But I mean, even if they do that, the 99% of the rest of the game, you know, it comes down to blocking and tackling and catching and everything else the teams already know about each other. I mean, is there a new move Julius Peppers can put on Chad Clifton that he's not already seen? It's going to be some smash-mouth football because of factors like that. I mean, it's just going to come down to who executes better, and I suppose that's cliche, but I suppose, you know, when you face each other three times in a year, there's not a whole lot more you can know. Tremont Williams said yesterday in his press conference he's still going to be watching a lot of video. I suppose you could learn new tendencies by watching a wide receiver or something like that. But, wow. It is going to come down to the old cliche, blocking and tackling. Packer fan John says they can hand off to Raji. Yes, yes. Brett says they have to have Raji hand off or pass install. It needs to be unveiled. I suppose the Packers can do that. I don't think they will. I think they're content to have Raji block on offense if that is an option. So, but that was amazing on Saturday when you saw BJ Raji line up as a fullback. It brought memories back of William the Refrigerator Perry from the Bears, the Packers' opponent this week. That will be happening. Illinois Pack fans asking about the betting odds. I'll have the odds later in the week. Hopefully my odds maker will send me some prop bets, and we'll go over some over-unders on Friday morning. Should be interesting what the over-unders are for both the Packers and the Bears and some of the prop bets. Brett comments, the serious play I think the Packers bring out is that play out of the gun when Corliss gets the free release up the middle and runs free. I see him scoring a long TD yet in these playoffs. Andrew Corliss has not really been a deep threat this season. It's happened very few times where the Packers have hit him down the seam. And it could happen. I mean, The cover two, the old Tampa two, is known for, you know, leaving that area of the field open. And you're right, Brett, that might be a possibility if the Bears are in their cover two look and you got the middle linebacker covering the deep middle. Yes, they're going to have help from the safeties, but their job is, you know, halves of the field. It sure would be nice, and I wouldn't doubt to see it at all because it hasn't happened a whole lot this season. You are spot on there in something that could happen, certainly. The tight end hitting on a seam pass down the field. And you know it's not going to be Donald Lee or Tom Crabtree that's going to beat be deep down the field, down the seam. So I can definitely see that. So as we linked to yesterday, Matt Bowen of the National Football Post has a article up, and he says how the Packers, he thinks, will mix coverages, or I'm sorry, the Bears, between, you know, kind of a cover two and even a cover three look. And, you know, they're kind of known for their cover two look, but you know, just to mix it up and keep the Packers guessing that they're going to, you know, go to different looks, have a different amount of rushers, four rushers in the cover two look as opposed to five rushers in a cover three. Of course, they're going to try to pressure Aaron Rodgers now and again. You have to try that, even though Rodgers is so good against the blitz. He's performed very well in the face of the blitz. He just can take advantage of that, has done a very good job exposing teams that have blitzed him, knowing where to put the ball. But anyhow, we're coming near to the end of the show. Just kind of reading the comments here as they roll in here as we wrap things up. Illinois Pack fan comments, the Pack O-line need to win us this game. That is where it all starts at. If the O-line plays well, we should win. You know, the regular season finale, Chad Clifton played so well against Julius Peppers that he really did do a good job, and you know, the Packers need that again out of Clifton. Kyle Cousineau says, I think Railbird Central should be a two-hour show leading up to the NFC Championship. I'll tell you what, folks, I'll stay on the air a little bit longer if somebody calls in here. I run out of things to talk about. You know, I listen to things like Green and Gold Today with Jason Wilde and Bill Johnson, and he has somebody to bounce some ideas off of. Somebody wants to call and talks Packers here. I'll feel free, but you got to talk with me. My voice gets tired after me for an hour. If you want to call in, come on. Anything you want to talk about, share your thoughts on how you think the Packers are going to do some of the key matchups. All these things we've been talking about. Andrew Corliss, is he a factor? Is Chad Clifton going to... can he shut out Julius Peppers once again, as he did in the regular season finale, when the Packers needed a win against the Bears to force the playoffs? Jamie asks, am I going to the game? No. Unless things change, I'm not going to the game. If there's any newspaper outlets out there that need coverage of the game, I'd be glad to cover the game for you. Are there any newspapers watching this show out there? But... no, I'll probably be at home, but that's good for the Railbird Central viewers and Cheesehead TV readers out there that I'll be watching the game at home and then able to do a post-game show. Illinois Pack fan says, how about doing a pre-game show before the game? Good idea. That just might be a possibility. We will see. We'll see how my time will be spent on Sunday. Not sure how much time I'll have, but we will see. John Rayor, mortgage supersedes game ticket for Brian. That's for sure. The life of a freelance writer is not a glamorous one, folks. God bless my wife. But, thanks, folks. We're going to wrap it up here on Railbird Central. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in today and taking a listen to the show. I'm glad the readers here, you viewers, are what makes this show go around, leaving your comments on the live blog and able to bounce ideas here, reading your comments and things like that. So thanks a lot. Packer Transplants is on Wednesday this week, so tomorrow evening, Packer Transplants here on Cheesehead TV. So make sure to stick around for that. Come back tomorrow evening, and of course, check out our coverage all week long here on Cheesehead TV. Thanks a lot, everyone, for tuning in today. Have a good week. Have a good Tuesday. We will see you later.